Next on BYUSN, as Cougar football heads to UCF, we debate whether the offense or the defense needs the better performance to pick up another win. Plus, the D certainly has received a lot of props for the Cougars' 7-0 start. Question, does Jake Retzlaff deserve more credit than he's getting?
We'll chat with PFF college football analyst Dalton Wasserman about BYU's 7-0 start and preview Saturday's game against UCF. And CBS Sports college football writer Dennis Dodd breaks down BYU's college football playoff chances and the current state of the Big 12.
Here we go. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. It is Thursday, October 24th, 1 week from Halloween, which we love. And Thursday is, of course, the first day of the weekend, so we're happy. I'm Dave McCann. Here's a guy celebrating this day for a whole different reason. This is an anniversary day.
It is.
What happened?
4 years ago today, I had my first pick six, got in the end zone, got a touchdown. I had been wanting a touchdown. That was the only statistic that I really didn't have.
And this is it right here.
This
what are you thinking
it.
As you get to the 20 or the 10?
Well, I'm just thinking end zone. Like, let me just get in, you know, ran to the sideline, picked it. Kudos to my team. I mean, you see Kyrus throwing blocks, Bracken O'Bakri, everyone's hustling, Zane Anderson in the end zone with me. I just needed to get in the end zone. I mean, now, fun fact, me and Kalani have the same number of career touchdowns.
That's fantastic, and I believe this is the trophy. And the reason we know it's a trophy, one, it's an Adidas ball, and there's the Texas State logo on the side of it. So how did you get the ball? Did you just take it, or what happened?
No, I didn't take it. I'd be stealing. But, no, I had this. I brought it on the sideline and gave it to the equipment manager. And he went, Billy, at the time it was Billy Nixon, he went to the Texas State sideline and had a little conversation, and we exchanged balls, and they were gracious enough to let me keep it.
Fantastic. So you had breakfast in bed, and the whole family treats you like a king
yes.
today?
Yes. Yeah, it's got its own little shrine in my office, too, that just always a constant reminder that I got in the end zone.
October 24th. Now October 24th has a whole new meaning for me and for Cougar Nation because it was Isaiah's big day. All rise and shout. It is time for What's Trending here on this Thursday.
The big reason why they're undefeated is that BYU's defense goes after the opponent.
In terms of like scoring offense and defense, like both in the top 25.
And we now believe that Jake is that guy. He's the guy that when you need a play, he's gonna make it.
We didn't do this just to get 7 wins.
What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. A couple of questions we want to dive into to start the day and the weekend. The Cougars leave for Orlando today, where on Saturday they're going to put that unbeaten streak on the line, 7-0, trying to get to 8-0. Just five teams, right, have been 8-0 in school history. So who needs the better performance to pull this off? The BYU offense or the BYU defense? Your defensive guys who have a feeling that we're going to hear some built-in bias, which is understandable. But who's got to be better on Saturday to win?
Yeah, and you called it. I'm a defensive guy, so my mind immediately goes to the defense, right? Especially after last week's showing. Would love to see the defense just step up. And now, look, I've been in those rooms where Kalani's saying, hey, defensive performance last week was poor. Saw Jay Hill after the game. Did not look visibly excited about the win. He was obviously frustrated about the way the defense played. And I know what this week of practice looked like, right? I've been on that side. And so, for me, the defense is going to step up, and I think that they need the better performance.
It seems like the way they played and still won. A lot of people learn these lessons in a loss. To be able to learn these lessons of, hey, you know what, on the defensive end spot, you have to stay with the quarterback. You can't go in on the fake or the quarterback's going to run around on the zone read and go for 50 yards. Those kind of things are often taught in a loss because that's how you lose games. So they won it. But then they go to practice all week, and it's almost like they lost because this is a, with everyone, you hear 111, right? Do your 111. And so many guys didn't. And now comes this big test because you're going up against the number one offense in the Big 12 and the number one rushing team in the Big 12, coming off a week where you just weren't in position to make plays.
Absolutely. And you look at this defense, right? Like, Kalani, I think, had even mentioned it earlier, that this team does a lot of things that is going to stretch the defense. We see a lot of quarterback pulls. That zone read, R.J. Harvey, great running back. Yeah. I mean, he's like, his numbers are crazy.
Hey, and they're tied for number one in the country with 63 running plays of 10 yards or more.
Yeah.
63.
I mean, that's quite the number.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
So they got big play potential, but BYU has big play guys on defense.
Yeah.
They've been really good at times this year. Here comes the ultimate test.
Well, and to me, it's the turnover margin, right? Like, we look at the BYU defense and their ability to create turnovers. That is going to be huge because in a game like this, right, if you can get more possessions, that's the better.
They don't like to pass. They threw for 62 yards in a 38-35 loss at Iowa State last week. It is run, run, run. But the Cougars come in, number four defense in the Big 12. They're number one in the Big 12 in turnovers gained. And they're number three in the Big 12 in points allowed. So they're going to counter with their strengths. We won't let you score. We're pretty good against big plays. And we're pretty good at making you turn it over. That's the way to counter the league's best running back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really just assignment sound football, right? When we see a BYU team execute assignment sound football, there's not a lot of teams in the country that are going to beat them. And so, you know, we talked about it. This week of practice, it's like drilling into the guys, hey, look, we've seen what we've done wrong. We know how to combat some of these plays that we're going to probably see for sure, right? Because UCF was taking notes. They see, hey, this guy, he crashes hard.
Yeah.
All right, so
he
now
can bite. He takes a cheese.
Yeah, he does. And so now it's their game plan is going to be adjusting to, hey, where's this guy at? What's this linebacker looking like?
Yeah, Tyler Batty took a lot of cheese, and he's the preseason Big 12 player for BYU. I look for a big bounce back game for Batty.
I'll tell you what, he struggled on the ends
last week for whatever reason, but he's good enough to go, okay, I'm going to fix that and get back to himself because he's been outstanding all season. Now, you got to score points to win games, that's for sure. So the BYU offense, they come in averaging 34.9 points a game. That's number two in the Big 12. UCF scoring 25.7. Jake Retzlaff, 16 touchdown passes, number 10 in the FBS, third in the Big 12. LJ Martin coming off a career high, 120 yards. UCF is 109 in red zone defense. You get inside the 20, teams against UCF are scoring, and BYU is really good once they get inside the other team's 20. It's going to be an interesting thing, but offensively, you're going up against a tough run-stopping defense that gives up yards in the passing game. So enough of LJ Martin should open up everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the offense, right, and last week UCF, they had two touchdowns off of the turnovers, right? So their defense looks to score. They got good long-rangey corners. And so I would imagine that if we can really open up this game, the run game, right, the offense should thrive. And so, you know, to me, though, it really starts to beg the question. We look at the BYU defense, right? A lot of credit to the BYU defense thus far in this season.
Yeah.
But does Jake Retzlaff, after what he did last game, does him and the BYU offense deserve more credit for what this team has done this season?
You know, PTSD is an interesting thing. And a lot of fans still harbor some from last year. I don't know why. You threw in a kid who's never played D1 football and put him up against four bowl-bound Big 12 teams, and he got beat. I most kids would get beat in that fashion. But he went 0-4 in his starts last year, and he's 7-0 in his seven starts this year. That's pretty good.
That's right.
That's pretty good. We mentioned a moment ago he's got 16 touchdown passes. He's distributing the ball all over the place. The thing that I'm impressed with about Jake is he struggled in the first half against Oklahoma State. A couple of picks, and then Rapati threw one. There were three turnovers in the first half. They go into the locker room. They're down by seven. They come out in the third and fourth quarters, no turnovers. They get four possessions. They score on all four. That's the Jake Retzlaff that's in charge of this football team, let alone the drive down the field with a minute to play and the winning touchdown to Darius Lassiter, which should really solidify Jake in this alumni group of BYU quarterbacks who are outstanding. Because
sure.
It's hard to do, and not many have done it. I think BYU fans can throw their arms around him and go, now they're going, hey, he's only throwing for 218 yards, like the last three games. 218 yards has been enough to win the last three games. Do you want to win, or do you want to throw 400 yards? And if you can win at 218, which means you're running the football, and last week they averaged, I think, 7.1 yards a carry, and if you're doing both, in the Big 12, ranked 11th in the country, and 7-0, I think it's okay to go, hey, you know what? I think he is good. I think he is a BYU quarterback, and he's just a junior. So, yeah, I think you know, nationally he's getting a lot of credit. There was a lot of coverage about his Jewish faith, playing quarterback at BYU, and he had some great interviews. He said some amazing things that made BYU look really, really good. Because BYU is really, really good and in so many ways, and he was able to articulate that. And now on the field, you're 7-0. The record speaks for it, and his performance speaks for it. So I think if he's not getting the credit that he deserves, he's on the cusp. You know, and now you got to go beat Central Florida. But from a defensive unit to watch this quarterback do what he's doing, you got to feel real confident in when you're on your sideline and he's out there.
Well, we've talked about it, right? The complementary football as a defense. Now, I remember I've seen guys, right, where an offense goes out and it's three and out. And as a defensive player, you're playing on special teams. And so, you know, you hear the punt alert, you're like, oh, my gosh, offense. Like, just, you know, get a first down so that we can take a little break. But we're not seeing that here, right? We're seeing this offense sustain drives and maintain drives and play the field position game. And they've been highly successful on fourth downs, which to me is a big key indicator to success. I'm really pleased, like, as a defensive guy with what the offense is doing. You can't ask for much more.
Hey, against Oklahoma State, there wasn't one three and out series.
It's awesome.
And I look at Oklahoma State, and BYU was favored to win that game. But you look at their roster, and you go, he got athletes all over the place. Ollie Gordon's the Doak Walker. And he had three touchdowns in the first half. He looked just fine, despite the fact that they'd lost a bunch of games coming in. So here comes UCF, and they, too, have lost four in a row. A heartbreaker last week. But you look at their roster, and you look at, hey, this is a four- or five-star. Here's how fast he is. Here's how big this guy is. They're legit. And a month ago, we were thinking they were going to contend, and BYU is a pretend-type group, right? They went to a bowl game last year in their first year in the Big 12. But they've lost their quarterback, and they've gone through injuries, which all losing teams do. But, man, they're dangerous. And they go home, and they're going to hand the ball off to Harvey 30 times.
Yeah.
And if BYU is going to tackle him, they got no offense or where to go. And their quarterback likes to run too. But if BYU is playing run defense, throwing is not an option for them. But if they can run 4 or 5 yards a pop, I don't care who you are, you're in for a long day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's you know, stopping the run, right? And that's I'm optimistic, though, that this game is a game, right? We saw last game, we make the corrections, and now it's just let's fix those mistakes and let's be on our way.
One thing we like to do all around Cougar Nation is hypotheticals and what ifs. I mean, every dinner conversation, hey, what if this, what if that? So let's play that here for a moment. What if BYU beats UCF to go to 8-0 and 5-0 in the Big 12? So they come home having gone on the road again for the second time in conference play, beat a team and come back 8-0. What's the scenario there coming back?
Well, I think you're in the driver's seat, right? I mean, you control your destiny here. When you go on the road, you beat a good UCF team who almost handed it to Iowa State.
Yeah, should have.
Should have.
Had it.
And then you come back home, and now, you know, you've got a bye week to get healthy, to recover, to just continue to get better. I mean, you are absolutely in the driver's seat.
And you're chasing the prize, right?
You are.
You love being in the college football playoff conversation, which they're in now. Just about every prognosticator has them in the playoff and going to the Big 12 championship, which is an out-of-body experience compared to all we talked about all summer and coming into the season. So yeah, here we are. We come back 8-0 and 5-0. It's just more of the same, only the drumbeat is louder.
Yeah.
And you know what? And then you're just going, hey, why not? Like Steve Young said, why not us?
Right.
And he's been right. And if you can go, we've always said along, if you can be 6-0, why can't you be 7-0? And if you win 7 games, why can't you win 8? Who in the Big 12 can't you beat? And after they beat Kansas State, as we watch Prassas taking it to the end zone, 38-9, then it became, well, you can beat everybody. That doesn't mean you will, but you can line up and beat everybody in this league. And then all of a sudden things change and magic starts to happen, like Lassiter getting in the end zone.
it was
just
dance.
a crazy finish. So yeah, 8-0 just keeps the band playing good music.
It does. Okay, now we move on to this what if conversation here. So what if BYU loses to UCF? We drop to 7-1 and 4-1 in the Big 12.
Not all is lost. You're still in the top 25. You're still in the driver's seat in the Big 12 to get to the Big 12 championship game. That win over Kansas State is going to give you a very important tiebreaker. So you almost have to lose twice to lose ground to Kansas State.
Yep.
And I believe Kansas State and Iowa State, they meet on the last Saturday of the regular season. That will determine who's going to the Big 12 championship, opposite of BYU, if BYU can continue at this pace. So you'd come home 7-1 and 4-1 with 2 weeks to get ready to go play Utah. I think you're bummed out because you're not undefeated anymore, but you're still playing with house money. You're still in the Big 12 championship hunt. And so you've got some room for error. There's no room for error when you're trying to be undefeated, right? And that happens so often around here, right? 1984. come close a couple of times, but 1984 is the only year they've done it. So, yeah, I think you come back and you go, if you lose and you come back healthy, and you're like, hey, look, we're a mature enough team that our goal is to get to the Big 12 championship game, which then you have a chance to get the college football playoff, and no one can keep you out if you win that game.
Yep.
It doesn't, an East Coast poll can't keep you out.
And we so love you that, got right? that.
Now, if they go 5-0 in the final five games, that makes them 12-0 on the year. Probably makes them ranked sixth or fifth, maybe. You're going to get into the playoff, whether or not you win the Big 12 or not, yep. the Big 12 championship game. That's the goal, right? That's the goal of every team, to win every game.
Yeah, absolutely. And we heard, right, you've got five games left. But it's really just who's the next. For the players, it's what's the next game and where we're at. But big picture, I mean.
They're all winnable.
They are all winnable. And you run the table. That's the goal, is to get to the college football playoff, right? Give yourself a chance to get to that last game of the season.
Yeah. They're all winnable. They're all losable in the Big 12. You know, you turn the ball over, you can lose to any of those five.
That's the crazy thing about the Big 12.
And so when we say, hey, they're all winnable, it's like, you blue-goggled guys, they're all losable. But right now, BYU's done enough where they're taking care of the ball when they need to. They're one of the fewest penalized teams in America. They're not giving it up so often. And this is how you win games.
Yep.
And to their credit, that's how you get to 7-0. That's why they have a good shot to be 8-0. But to do that, they got to stop the best running back in the Big 12. I like our linebacking core to do that.
Yeah.
Now, when you can do everything, the run, pass, option, and all that stuff, you got nine things to think about. This is, you line up, you look where Harvey is, and nine times out of ten, he is getting the football. So where are you at defensively? That's going to be big.
Yeah, I mean, so now we look at what if BYU goes 4-1 right in the final five games of the season.
Whether you're 11-1, you're 8-1, you're in the Big 12 championship.
You're still in the driver's seat, right?
Life is great.
Yep.
And if they go 3-2 in the final five, that puts them at 10-2 and 7-2. 7-2 still might get you to Arlington. Depending on how things go. That's how big that Kansas State game was. But if they win three of these five, and they're very tough at home, and Kansas and Houston are coming to Provo, Arizona State, they're hot and cold. That's going to be down at Sun Devil Stadium the week before Thanksgiving in front of a huge BYU crowd. Utah's as vulnerable as any team in the league. And then UCF. Of those five, I'd say UCF's the most dangerous because we don't have an emotional investment in UCF, right. Unlike Utah.
Yeah.
And it's all the way on the other side of the country. They've got some really good athletes, but they're vulnerable too. They've lost four in a row.
Right. And we've seen the BYU, like all these myths, right, about, hey, BYU traveling two time zones, BYU playing during the day. Like those, I think, have been squashed, right? I'm hoping they have been.
Right, because they won at Baylor in the morning.
Yeah.
And beat Arizona in the day. So there's nothing left that the team hasn't done. They do love playing at night. So here's the question of the day. Would love for reaction from Cougar Nation. Who needs the better performance to beat UCF on Saturday? The BYU offense or the BYU defense? Now think about that and send us your response. Rowdy and the Rock on X. Based on the way Oklahoma State ran the ball last week, the defense. Need to stop a good and unique rushing attack. Force them to throw the ball. That's how we get turnovers to win games, like Kansas State, for example. And again, the quarterback for UCF loves to run, too, and he ran very effectively. They threw for 62 yards last week at Iowa State, and they ran for 356 or something like that. So you got the two guys, all right? Assignment sound defense means one guy's got the quarterback, 10 guys have the running back. But as long as one guy's got the quarterback, that read becomes harder for him, right?
Right.
You've stopped the zone read your whole college career.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, we talk about assignment sound football, but then there's also some other factors, right? And to me, it's effort about getting to the football, right? Everyone does their job. You do your 1/11th, but then you also need all 11 guys running to the football, right? Making plays. That's when strips happen and you can, you know, punch the ball out. And so, if we can stop these two guys, which I'm confident we can, right, after last week's showing, I think that we'll be in a good spot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. And then they got to They got to figure out defensively what to do with Retzlaff and Lassiter and Roberts. And if L.J. Martin's getting a few yards a pop or Rapati, everything's opened up for BYU against a team that gives up points and gives up yards. And when you're behind, it's hard to run.
It is.
Right? At Iowa State, they ran for those yards they were ahead for most of the game.
Yep.
But when you're behind and you have to throw, and that's not what you do, then you get picks. Then Jacob Robinson's hoping for that kind of scenario.
Oh, yeah.
He'll just be back there waiting for
And the linebackers, don't forget about
that's right.
Don't
that's
forget
right.
about the LBs.
No, can't forget about them. At @n_Crowley19 on X, you can get a win with either performing well, but the more sure win would be the defense. If the defense can contain their run game, BYU's offense has a lot less pressure and responsibility. That's true. You get short fields on turnovers. Quarterback loves that, right? What, got to go 20 yards? We can do that. Yeah.
Easy.
Continue to weigh in using the hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. We'll try to read as many of your responses as we can this morning. Remind you, on Saturday, speaking of the big game, BYU and UCF, Sports Nation Game Day starts at 1:30 Eastern Time on BYU TV and ESPN+. Cougar pregame live at 1:30, also on BYU Radio. The game's at 3:30 Eastern on BYU, on ESPN Radio and BYU, ESPN and BYU Radio. Live postgame show back on BYU TV as soon as it's over. That's a Super Saturday right there, full of football from start to finish. Coming up, the football continues. Dalton Wasserman, college football analyst for Pro Football Focus. What does he think of BYU's chances this weekend? And has he changed his tune about Jake Retzlaff? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
The Cougs have done it!
Lavelle Edwards Stadium magic.
Taking it for six and seal the deal.
They pulled it off because they believed they could.
We are live inside Studio B for your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Dave McCann, Isaiah Kafusi here on BYU Sports Nation. Our pleasure to bring in Dalton Wasserman, college football analyst for Pro Football Focus and co-host of the PFF College Football Show. We love his insights, his wit, and he's keeping a keen eye on these Cougars. 7-0 BYU. How surprising is that start?
It's very surprising, honestly, when you see just the drastic improvement of this team and where they were at last year. The quarterback situation was a mess last year, and even coming into this year was pretty open competition between Jake Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon. And then maybe even more surprising is just this drastic improvement of their defense. I know they gave up 35 points to Oklahoma State last week, but I'll tell you, for the most part, they have put together a really physical, balanced football team on both sides of the ball. Drastic improvement from their quarterback and big-time improvement from their defense. I think it's just a better team effort that they're having this year. It's a very well-rounded, balanced team, and they're getting it done a lot of different ways.
Dalton, you talk about a drastic improvement out of the quarterback play, right? I know now everyone talks about the screensaver, that, you know, Jake Retzlaff's screensaver, and, you know, ESPN loves to highlight it. But what improvements have you seen out of Jake that really say, hey, this kid is the real deal?
You're talking first about just not making as many big mistakes, right? I think the big thing last year was that when he did make mistakes, they were backbreaking. You know, turnover-worthy plays are a big thing for us, and he made some egregious ones last year. Obviously, limited time, first year up, and you know, from junior college, and it's about limiting those mistakes. And then he just looks so much more confident and comfortable. And I think as we get deeper into the season, that's becoming more and more true. He believes in his arm talent. He can make darn near any throw on the field. He believes in his pass protection, which is much improved from last year, I think. And you just see a guy who's so much more comfortable, right? Going through that quarterback battle in the preseason, going through it against a veteran like Gary Bohannon, who's played a lot of college football, right? They didn't necessarily have to go with Retzlaff here, but he's proven that he can play at every step of this thing, and he keeps getting better against better competition. And what he's done, I think especially, it felt like for the whole team and for Retzlaff, that big win they had over Kansas State just instilled a new confidence. Like, okay, this is real. We can do this. Yeah, there's my list right there. That feels good. It's just, you can see the confidence. He's playing with belief in the guys around him and belief that, you know, even if he does make a mistake, which have been fewer and further between this year, his defense can pick him up. You're not seeing him press like he did at moments last year.
Him at the bottom of your list is no surprise around college football. And to be quite honest, BYU fans weren't quite sure what he was going to bring this year as well. So right now it makes you look like you were in left field. But you were in center field when you made that list because everyone was wondering the same thing. If you were to make the list today, where would Retzlaff be? Started at 16 on your list. Where would he be today?
If I was evaluating it off of this year, I think he'd have to be second. Look, I think Shedeur Sanders, me personally, I think he's the best quarterback in the country. It's either him or Cam Ward at the very top. But I would have to put Retzlaff second. I know Rocco Beck's been really good for Iowa State, but there's some turnovers in there, and he's gotten away with some mistakes. Brendan Storsby for Cincinnati's been solid, kind of surprisingly solid as well. But I think Retzlaff is second. And when you look at what he adds, the explosive element that he adds to this offense, and he's still their leading rusher. I mean, what he's added in the run game, especially in that stretch where you guys had LJ Martin and some other running backs get hurt early in the year, he became the center of the run game as well. Now it looks a little more balanced with Martin and Hinkley Rapati back in there. But what he's done to carry this offense through those injuries and continues to do with the explosive playmaking, I would have to put him second.
Dolan, when you look at this BYU football team, great defense, an offense that plays complementary football, right? They maintain drives, they sustain drives. We were debating earlier, right, who gets more credit for the start of, for the first seven games of the season, the BYU offense or the BYU defense? What's your take?
Oh, see, that's the hardest question because they do play. They're one of the most, I think they're one of the most balanced teams in the country, right? It's hard not to give equal credit. Like, we see so many breakout teams where you go, okay, the quarterback broke out and they still can't score, I think, or they can't stop people. Like, I think at Texas Tech, that's kind of the case where their offense is broken out a bit, but their defense is lagging behind some. Or, you know, you see some other teams where they get one or two breakout stars that are carrying them. And I think that's actually the beauty of this BYU team is it's so hard to give more of the credit to one or the other because there's been moments where they've both been great, right? The defense absolutely shut down Kansas State. Retzlaff had to be great last week for the final drive against Oklahoma State when the defense didn't have a great day. You mentioned complementary football. I think there's very few teams in the country playing better complementary football. So to answer that question is a really hard one. I know a lot, you know, the quarterback's always going to get the most of the credit, right, because of the weight of the position. But they've been so balanced, and it's just – they're one of these teams right now. You don't see one big Achilles heel, right? Like, for, it seems like for every team, almost every team in the country, go, oh, they have this one thing you have to do to them to beat them. I think with BYU, you know, kind of like, oh, look, Oklahoma State played their best game of the year, I thought, against BYU, and they still couldn't find a way to beat them. You just have to line up and beat them as they are. It's very hard. It's very hard to give one to give more credit for one side or the other because I think they've been so balanced, and that's been the biggest key to their success.
Dalton Wasserman, a college football analyst for Pro Football Focus, co-host of the PFF College Football Show with Max Chadwick. Now, BYU's ranked number 11th, and Cougar Nation is ecstatic to be number 11. Some think, hey, maybe they should be number in the top 10 at some place, and you guys have certainly got an opinion on that. Where should BYU be ranked heading into this UCF game?
I think you can easily argue they should be number 6 or 7 in the country. They've got a better resume than Iowa State. You know, I don't see any reason to punish them for playing a tight game with Oklahoma State when you've got Iowa State has played a few close games, including last week against UCF. You got a team like Miami who had two massive comebacks against teams that you figured they should have took care of business against. So I think punishing them for close games is wrong if you still get the win. And I think they should be ahead of Iowa State. I think they've played a little bit more consistent football than Iowa State has. And they have such a great resume. That win over SMU is a spectacular win when you look at what the Mustangs have done lately. You beat K-State by almost 30 points when they never lose by that much. K-State always goes down at least with a fight, dominated Arizona. Yeah, it was closer against Baylor, but they dominated the early parts of that game. And the Oklahoma State game, they were on a short week, and Oklahoma State, I believe, was off a bye week. So, look, not every game is going to be just walking out there and doing what they did to Kansas State. But the fact that they have that win at SMU, which looks so much better now, the K-State win, looked really good the last 3 weeks, had to get through the Oklahoma State games. But that's going to happen, especially those Friday night games, those midweek games can be a little weird. I would probably have them at number 7 right now. I think they should be ahead of Iowa State.
Let me follow up on that. Why is it that they aren't? What's keeping them out? Is it the fact that they started at like 50 or 55 and are just making the climb up? Or is there something else that the national media are going, yeah, we're not letting you in the top 10?
I think it's just – You know, maybe there's some underlying metrics. I'm not entirely sure what they are, because to me, they look pretty good. Maybe there's underlying metrics here that say they shouldn't be that high, but I don't get that in comparison to Iowa State either. I think it's more about the close games, right? Like sometimes you see the rankings, you know, they don't always watch every game immediately right after when they come out with the AP poll Sunday afternoons, right? They maybe don't always watch. They just check the scores and do that. Like they see a 6-point win over Baylor and they go, well, Baylor's not that good. And I kind of disagree. Baylor's been competitive in a lot of their games. Could have, you know, they almost had the big comeback on BYU. They should have beat Colorado, for being real, you know, and then a close game with Oklahoma State, who, yeah, hasn't played like they did last year, like the Big 12 runner up that they were last year. But I don't think you can always just take into account. Now, if they were winning by 3 points every single week against Baylor and Oklahoma State and Arizona and whatever else, then I go, okay, one score games can get fluky. But the dominance over K-State, the great defensive game they played against SMU, which is an extremely dangerous offense. I mean, I really don't understand why they're not higher. And at the very, very least, again, ahead of Iowa State.
Dalton, looking ahead to Saturday, right? BYU travels to Orlando. They got a good UCF team, right? Almost beat Iowa State last week. What is your key to the game for BYU to come out victorious?
The big key is what you saw Iowa State, what they struggled with last week, and that's stopping the run and stopping this option game. Okay, UCF now started the season with KJ Jefferson at quarterback. Now they've gone to their backup, Ja'Kari Brown, who is a really good runner, but not as great a passer. So UCF is very one-dimensional, but that one dimension is really good with Brown. And their running back, R.J. Harvey, is an absolute star. That's an NFL running back. He can take it 80 yards on any play. Okay, so you're talking about, I think what happened last week, BYU's run defense has been really good this year. And Oklahoma State, with a backup quarterback as well, threw more option looks at them than I think they're used to. And they did a great job of it against K-State when they expected it. But that was kind of new for Oklahoma State. And I thought they struggled a little bit with the option game. So the biggest thing for UCF, and look, they're going to get their rushing yards because they're going to run the ball darn near every play. You just can't give up those big explosive runs like Iowa State did last week. If their run defense rebounds from what they had last week at Oklahoma State, they could go out there and honestly dominate this football game, because UCF's defense is not that good. In their five Power 5 games, they're giving up points per game well into the 30s. I believe it's over 32 points a game. Their passing game is a mess. This run game for UCF is really their only hope of winning games, and BYU's run defense has been better than Iowa State. They just got to make a little bit of adjustments to the option.
Dalton, let's finish with PFF Plus. What can fans find when they go there?
All of this same data, this great data that I get to look at every single day and every single week. For less than $10 a month, you get a subscription. You get access to all of the grades, NFL and college, our fantasy tools, our mock draft simulator, which is the best tool in the business. Honestly, they've used that even on NFL Network to go through their mock drafts. All the fun stuff, anything you can think of. We've got betting tools as well if you're into the gambling and that sort of thing. We got everything. And again, for less than $10 a month, you can see all of it, use all of it to your advantage, and be the smartest person in the room.
Dalton Wasserman, Pro Football Focus. Enjoy another week of college football. Thank you so much for your insights, and we'll see you again soon.
Appreciate you guys big time. Thank you.
All right. He's converted to Jake Retzlaff and BYU. He's all in. They were all out. He's all in at Pro Football Focus. Coming up, today's headlines. We're also going to hear from Aaron Roderick and Jay Hill as the Cougars get ready to go challenge the Knights. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B here at BYU TV. Dave McCann, Isaiah Kafusi. Lots of headlines. Let's dive into them.
Yeah, number 11, BYU football, holding practice this morning, right, as they prepare for UCF. After practice earlier this week, BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick spoke to the media about what he is liking about the BYU offense and how they're playing right now.
Thought the offensive line was physical. LJ was running. We were in rhythm. The run game sets up our play action pass and vice versa. And, you know, we need to keep taking strides.
BYU flies to Orlando later today. After opening as slight favorites, BYU is now a 2.5 underdog.
Good.
Against UCF.
Play better as a dog.
I'll tell
you. BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill also spoke with the media about the challenges of slowing down UCF's rushing attack.
It's a complicated scheme. We got to be at our best. They do a lot of good things. They do a lot of different things that we haven't really necessarily seen this year. So we're going to have to be assignment sound.
Pre-game coverage for Saturday's game starts at 1:30 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. It'll be sunny and 80 back there.
Sounds not bad. Yeah. That is. Puka Nacua and the LA Rams play tonight against the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday Night Football. Puka has been on injured reserve since week one with a knee injury, but he's back, right? He's optimistic to play tonight, so we'll see how he does.
No one happier than everyone who has him on their fantasy team. BYU men's golf finishes second place at the Leadership Golf and Collegiate over in Monterey, California. Held first place through the first two rounds, but Pacific got him down the stretch. The Cougars' Peter Kim and Cole Ponich each finished in the top five.
BYU swim and dives, Haley Tiffany and Chase Hindmarsh were honored today at the Big 12 this week, their awards for last week against Texas A&M, right? Tiffany was named the Women's Newcomer of the Week, and Hindmarsh was named the Men's Diver of the Week.
Fantastic, and we'll give a shout out and good luck to Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne playing in this weekend's Zorzo Championship. That's on the PGA Tour over in Japan. Good golf earns them a living, so we wish them the best. Coming up next, we'll hear from national football writer Dennis Dodd. Get his take on the Cougars, football and basketball. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Keeps happening over and over again. Maybe you're good at it.
So, hey, keep stacking up these wins and have Cosmo parachute into the new playoffs.
They would have to win the Big 12.
Just dumb enough to think that they have no shot to win the conference. We're going to send out my apologies.
They appear to be on their way. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation here live in Studio B. During their time at the Big 12 Basketball Media Days this week in Kansas City, Spencer and Jerem caught up with CBS Sports national writer Dennis Dodd. Lots to talk about, including football and basketball. Here's their conversation.
Dennis, it's a prime time to have you on this show because you are well-versed in both college football and college basketball. So we'll let you decide where you want to start. Do you want to talk BYU football first or BYU basketball? You make the call.
Since I cover football, I think football first.
Okay, yeah. Let's start with the 7-0 Cougars from your national. I mean, you cover all 130-plus Division I FBS teams very closely. In your mind, why is BYU doing what they are doing right now?
That's the big question, isn't it? I mean, you can put your finger on Texas. You can put your finger on Georgia, Alabama, whoever, Ohio State. I think BYU is the sum of their parts. You know, it's somebody different each game or unit each game. I was fascinated to find out that Jake Retzlaff is the leading rusher on this team.
By 9 yards.
7 games in.
And not by 9, you're right, by 9 total yards. Not exactly a Cam Newton or, you know, a Tim Tebow or somebody like that, but that's my point. You just get it done any way you can get it done.
Been wild, especially last week's game was crazy. BYU having to make a comeback there. Oklahoma State's been interesting. They've underperformed. They performed well. And then we look at UCF. You know, they played Iowa State.
Yeah.
Tough. Good defense from BYU and Iowa State. At the end, you just have to win. If you have an off day, you just have to win. And now BYU's 7-0.
Yeah, 269 yards rushing, I think, by Oklahoma State. That's where they pin their hopes on every year and had not done that well this year with Ollie Gordon II. But busted out, and, you know, BYU, I guess, was fortunate to be there at the end. But they don't answer, how many. And I think the next two games, I think UCF's going to get somebody because they've lost some excruciating games lately. Yep. And I do think they're pretty good, too. And if they don't get down on themselves, they're going to get somebody. And with BYU traveling, I think that'll be tough. And then Utah's just up in the air. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if Cam Rising is gone or not. The one time I went to that game, it set in my mind it was Urban's year, you know, whatever that was, 2004 when y'all went to the Fiesta Bowl.
The Snow Bowl.
That was not snow.
Oh, so
that
2003
one,
then.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so that's all I remember from that game. When people bring up great rivalries, I go, don't forget the Holy War.
Yeah.
People don't put that on the list.
One of the greatest games in the history of that was Lavelle Edwards' last game. Both teams didn't make a bowl game. You know, BYU playing for 500. It was a great game. It does not matter. But Andy Ludwig, the offensive coordinator, comes down this week. Zach Wilson's younger brother, Isaac, is the freshman starting quarterback. We're trying not to look ahead too much either because there's a bye week next week and UCF's good. But, yeah, Utah's coming.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, I said before the season that I thought the Big 12 was the most fascinating conference because of all the new teams. And somebody was going to have to win it, and that team was going to go to the playoff. And this year, it was probably going to be a non-traditional team. And by that, I mean there's only two teams in this league with legacy championships, and that's Colorado and BYU. Well, BYU's in the running now, but not to say they won't make it. But think of if a Kansas State makes it through or an Iowa State makes it through. They never played for a championship. BYU won theirs, 40 years ago, which is still, I think, still the only one. I keep coming to this. Still the only, how do we want to put it, not group of five, not non-power five team to ever win it. Because when Army was winning those championships, that was like the SEC. So I think that's fascinating to me. Somebody's going to win it who probably doesn't have championship legacy. And what does that look like?
Dennis Dodd covers college football on the national level for CBS Sports. Going back to UCF and your point, BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff said UCF is the best 3-4 team in the country. Yeah. They look so good on film. Yeah. We've reviewed a ton of what they do. And BYU is an underdog right now by a point and a half going to Orlando. So, I mean, what do you make of this matchup on Saturday when, like you said, UCF has just lost some really frustrating games? Do you expect them to show up with an added ferocity, or is there a big loss hangover for falling short against Iowa State?
I think that's the question, and I think that's the challenge for Gus Malzahn and those players. Is he going to let these last two games hang over their heads, or are they going to come out and say, hey, we got a chance to do some things here, the season's not over, and look at, we know we can match up with them. You just mentioned it, the BYU's underdogs. And that's a question I can't answer. We know everything's on the line for BYU. We know they're going to show up. But that defense for UCF, I think, has got question marks. And if they can, make a run there. I will say this, the travel, it's the weather. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but going to Orlando anytime usually is very humid and kind of a shock to the system to players that aren't there. But BYU in its history has played everywhere. So that probably matters a little less than I make out to be. But as I said, when I saw this game come up, I said they're going to have somebody for somebody down the line.
Yeah, yeah. High 70s or low 80s for what it's
worth. And about 50% humidity. It'll be hotter than that.
That might be the combined line as well. it might be a high-scoring game. Who knows? Okay, so looking ahead, there's only three teams with one loss or fewer in the Big 12. BYU, Iowa State, both undefeated. Kansas State. Do you think one of those three teams wins the league? And let's play out the how does the Big 12 get two in somehow?
Yeah, and look, the only teams out of those three that play each other, Iowa State and Kansas State play in the last day of the season in Farmageddon.
Yep, which is a great name, by the way.
Right, I love that. I love that. It was a marketing thing by somebody, but it's great. And that might be for a spot that probably will, it looks like now, be for a spot in the championship game. And BYU can, I don't want to say out of that, maybe afford a loss and still be in the top two, but you'd rather run the table, because obviously that champion is going to get in. Now, to get two, that's something I've thought a lot about, because in the SEC alone, there's a chance to, like, for four or five teams to finish 10-2. And one of those teams at least isn't going to make it, because, like, if Vanderbilt is sitting there at 10-2 and has beaten Alabama but lost again. They play Texas this week. I don't think they're going to win that. What does that look like, against a second team from the Big 12? And if it happens, does the SEC react? Because they're making waves about getting automatic qualifiers. I think that would hurt a league like the Big 12. But I'm going to reserve judgment. I think the ACC's got a better chance to get two in with Clemson and Miami. Miami has a great chance to go 12-0 without playing a ranked team.
Wild.
This year. Yeah, wild.
Nice schedule.
Clemson has done nothing but get better all season.
As you look at the health of the Big 12 overall, there's this conversation that happens often about where the Big 12 falls in the pantheon of the Power Four. Are they the third best conference? Is it the ACC? And how far is the divide between the Big 10, the SEC, and then the ACC and the Big 12? How do you see that?
Well, the SEC and Big 10 are miles ahead of everybody else in revenue alone. I mean, they're talking about doing a scheduling agreement. They're talking about a non-conference game. They're talking about doing non-con games. They're talking about they're basically partners right now. Last week they met. I think the meeting itself was unprecedented. Two conferences on their own meeting to like the Potsdam Resolution to divide up Western Europe. You know, how are we going to do this?
Just don't call it the Alliance and we'll
be right. But I think, look, in terms of revenue, the ACC is slightly ahead of the Big 12. I don't think that even really matters right now. It's about how many teams you can get in to win championships. And as Brett Yormark said, when all this was happening, he told his presidents, he brought to them the big ESPN deal. And even though it was below market, this is October of 22, he said, below market, we have to take this or we may not be a conference. And So he had the foresight, unlike George Klyavkov, that might happen. So that $31.7 million that everybody's getting base is what saved this conference.
It's pretty gnarly. And with that new deal, goes through 31. Brett Yormark has talked about how at some point he's thinking maybe men's basketball is its own thing.
Yeah.
Do you think that'd be a smart move to have the TV rights specifically for this league, which is one of, if not the best league, Ken Pom and all the numbers in America, separate that contract in 31?
It's a unique idea. I've talked to people in the industry, and they're not so sure, because there's a reason that these media revenue rights contracts go 80-85% football and 15-20% basketball. And I have been told flat out, if that happens, then what will happen with the rights holder, they'll just take, football will make 15% less because they're not going to pay more for basketball. Now, Brett Yormark thinks that basketball is undervalued. He's really close with Adam Silver. Adam Silver's told him this is a great idea. Streaming is the future, which we've all heard. And he wants to do it. Now, again, this is in 2031. You know, I should add that we're not going to have this Super League or Project Rudy until at least then. So I think we got status quo until then. But it's a unique idea.
Dennis, always great to talk to you and get your insights into the state of college sports. We wish you rest over the next few days.
And as a Never. Kansas City guy, best restaurant we should check out?
Best restaurant? Wow. I think you're going to ask me.
$2 signs.
I thought you were going to.
Keep it simple.
Okay, they're going to have me barbecue. But barbecue is Gates. I'm a sauce guy, so okay. I love Gates. That's close.
Gates.
And Garozzo's on the northeast side. It's Italian, and it's really, really good.
Ooh, Gates and Garozzo's.
Okay. Yeah.
Very nice. Awesome.
Now you're helping us out on the food front.
I try. Multi-talented. Kind of like these BYU players. Again.
We appreciate it, brother.
All
thanks
right.
so much
thanks.
For the
you
time.
Bet.
Guys, thank you from Kansas City, the great Dennis Dodd. If you missed any of our Sports Nation coverage from Big 12 Media Days, they're waiting for you at BYUSN.com or BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page. Coming up, who do you think needs to have a better performance to beat UCF on Saturday? The BYU offense or the defense? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day, who needs the better performance at UCF on Saturday, the BYU offense or the defense? E_Rock360 on X says offense, no turnovers, and BYU will be fine. In response, our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, Cookies9 on X. After last week's performance, defense must do better. Offense is improved and looking better every week. Special teams needs to be solid. Well said by Cookies9 on X. A rise in shout-outs presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Check this out. Yesterday at the Big 12 Media Days, Cosmo won a dance-off against UCF's mascot, Nitro. We need a Cosmo Darius Lassiter celebration in the end zone after a touchdown.
That would be something. And first of all, Nitro clearly didn't read the scouting report because no one challenges Cosmo to a dance-off, period. Let alone here on a basketball court in Kansas City. You can see him going, yeah, I was right. No mas.
You're right. Done. Cosmo, he's undefeated.
You get him out there with the Cougarettes and the national champion dance team, and everyone in the stadium stops. Like, wait a second, I know it's a timeout, but we got to watch this. And then they just do it. So shout out. Congrats to Cosmo for winning the dance-off. What's your score for Saturday?
Man, I think it's going to be high scoring.
Do you? So they could give up a bunch of yards and big plays and still win like 45-35, and you're good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at BYU scoring 42 points.
Yeah.
I think that's realistic. Offense has been clicking on all cylinders. I think the pass game really opens up, and so we just stretch the field. And, you know, I think defense holds it down. They're going to, you know, USCF's going to have some big plays. It's going to happen.
They just got to come back 8-0.
That's it.
Right? That's life in a conference, which is kind of fun because we went all those years as an independent, and it was all or nothing. right? And now it's just go on the road, get a win, come back 8-0, and keep climbing. Special guests Dalton Wasserman and Dennis Dodd, we thank them for being on the show today.
The conversation continues on X, Instagram, Facebook. All the shows are on demand at BYUSN.com.
For Isaiah, I'm Dave. We'll see you Saturday at 1:30 on game day. Shout out to Lapini Katoa. Made one of the best catches in school history against UCF in the Boca Raton Bowl. Go Cougs!